spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The ark of Israel,
the eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light. This public service program is brought to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our drama today by Morton Wishengrad is based on Mary Anton's short story, The Lie, and features Charlotte Holland as the teacher and Michael Artist as the boy. Following the dramatic portion of the program, you will hear a talk by Rabbi Louis I. Newman.
I used to hear that song many years ago when I taught the sixth grade on the Lower East Side. I would hear that song coming softly from the tenements. And every time I heard it, I was reminded of David Radinsky and the lie. He was a small boy who told a small lie, and I shall always bless him for it. There was never a sixth grade pupil like David Radinsky, an immigrant boy for whom geography and grammar and simple fractions were astonishing truths which could be spliced to the core of the universe. But then, when a little Jewish boy from Tsarist Russia comes to school in America, some things are likely to happen that the school board does not provide for. There was something about David Radinsky that caught at my heart. Something about his small face and his extraordinary eyes and his long silences.
Teacher.
Yes, David?
You know what I tell Mama?
No, what?
I come home and I say to Mama, Mama, teacher talks with her eyes.
Oh. David, a little boy like you shouldn't be so silent.
It's written down, teacher.
What? What's written down, David?
The Holy One said to the tongue, All the limbs of man are erect, but you are horizontal. They are all outside the body, but you are inside. More than that, I have surrounded you with two walls, one of bone and the other of flesh.
That's a very strange thing for a boy in the sixth grade to say.
It means that silence is a healing for all sickness. Miss Ralston, Mama says I shouldn't keep you after school every day.
Why not?
She says the school board doesn't pay extra. But that's not right, Miss Ralston, is it? Nobody pays teachers.
No?
Nobody pays mothers.
Oh, I see.
I tell Mama, teachers are born on purpose to teach. Just like mothers are born on purpose to cook soup and patch pants.
Perhaps you're right. David, tell me, what do you want to be when you grow up?
An American citizen.
That's fine. But what do you want to do?
I will always vote for honest candidates and belong to a society for arresting illegal voters.
Where in the world did you ever get such an idea?
Why, teacher, from Papa, of course. Papa's going to be a real Yankee.
David Radinsky thought it a very great matter to be a citizen. You see, he was only an immigrant and excitable. So after class, I would take down my little blue book with the gilt lettering and read Paul Revere's Ride to him and Independence Bell. And in his eyes as I read, there was a clashing of swords and a flapping of banners in the wind, I began to understand David better after I met his father. One day, Mr. Rudinsky came to school.
He's a good boy, yes, teacher?
Yes, Mr. Rudinsky. You can be proud of David.
He learns good, no?
I haven't a better student.
That makes me glad. If I didn't have to make a living, I'd like to stay here all day and see my David get educated.
But it's only the sixth grade. It isn't very much.
Well, it's a whole lot. I'm 40 years old, Miss Ralston. But the day I took my children to the school, that was the happiest day of my life.
I believe you, Mr. Rudinsky.
You are very good, Miss Ralston. Teacher, of one thing I must make sure.
Yes?
If a boy's father wants to take his son from school to send him to work, the law does not allow, yes?
Not if the boy is younger than 14.
It is the best law. The state is a good father to the children. Not like with the Tsar.
Oh, don't worry about that, Mr. Rudinsky.
But I must worry. Maybe in business I'm not so good. If I fail, for David it will be writing papers.
But David must be allowed to remain in school at least till he's 14.
Yes, David must study. No matter what happens to his father, at least till he is 14.
And that's several years off, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, I have made sure of it.
Have you?
Yes, teacher, I have. And my boy will study and he will make a good American. Yes, teacher.
Mr. Rudinsky, with such a father, how could he help it?
God bless you, teacher. Right now, I would not change places with Vanderbilt, the millionaire.
I looked into Mr. Rudinsky's eyes, and it was like the chanting of a psalm. He turned and went out. And when he was gone, something remained in the classroom that hadn't been there before. I thought of David Rudinsky's father while the children filed into the classroom and began the day's lesson in the usual way.
All right, children, all right.
My country, 'tis a feast, sweet land of liberty, of the I
may be seated.
Miss Ralston, teacher?
Yes, David.
Teacher, what does it mean, land where my father's died?
Can someone explain that to David? Yes, Jaime.
Well, land where my father's died means America. The pilgrims came here in a Mayflower and they slugged it out with the Indians.
The pilgrims, Jaime?
Sure, that's right.
Come here. Look here at my mouth. Now, place your tongue like this.
I'm placing, teacher.
Against your front teeth, like this.
I gotcha.
Now, blow out. Good. Now, say this.
This.
Now, say that.
That.
With.
With. I say it pretty good. Soon I'll be talking better to my brother.
Class went on as usual. Each morning the children rose and sang America, and the lessons began. Then I began to notice that David was troubled. I watched him. His lips formed the words, land where my fathers died, and then they stopped. His eyes fixed themselves on my face, but he did not sing the words. This wasn't life, David. I asked him to remain after school.
Bye, Mr. Goodbye.
Come on, Rebecca.
I'm coming.
David, is something wrong?
No.
You didn't sing with the others.
No, ma'am.
David, don't you like to sing America?
Oh, yes, ma'am, I do. It's a fine song.
Then why don't you sing it?
Land where my fathers died. How can I sing such a lie?
But that means your ancestors.
They didn't die here.
David Radinsky, you have as much right to those words as anybody in America.
No, ma'am. Land where my fathers died. It wasn't America. If I sing it, it's a lie.
Oh, no, David.
They weren't pilgrims.
Now, listen to me. Not all the Pilgrim Fathers came before the Revolution.
No.
Isn't your own father like the Pilgrims? Think of it, David. How he left his home and came to a strange land where he couldn't even speak the language.
Papa never saw an Indian.
No. Yet every ship that ever brought an immigrant was a Mayflower. Listen to me, David. We are going to have a class play. And I want you to play George Washington.
Me, Miss Ralston? George Washington?
Yes, David Radinsky.
He never told a lie.
It will be no lie for you. I want you to stay after class tomorrow and rehearse some lines with the others.
All right, teacher. If it won't be a lie, I'll be very glad to be George Washington.
David, read General Washington's speech to the Hebrew congregation of Newport.
It is now no more that toleration is spoken of as if it were by the indulgence of one class of people that another enjoyed the exercise of their inherent natural...
Inherent, David.
Of their inherent natural rights. For happily, the government of the United States, which gives to bigotry no sanction, to persecution no assistance, requires only that they who live under its protection should demean themselves as good citizens.
Not bad, kid.
Very good, David. When we put the play on, you're going to wear a uniform and a powdered wig.
Me?
Yes. And you'll look just like George Washington. It'll look fine on the program, too. George Washington, played by David Radinsky, age... Oh, how old are you, David? David, I asked how old you are.
Me, teacher?
Yes, of course. How old are you?
12. Yes, I'm 12.
Don't you know? David.
Teacher, he's getting all white.
David, is something wrong? Are you ill?
No, nothing's the matter. I'm all right.
If he's going to play George Washington, he's got to tell the truth. He's sick.
Be quiet, honey. David, your hands are so cold.
I guess you don't feel good.
Now, come on, get your coat on. I'm taking you home. Here, you're crying.
No, don't take me home. Don't anybody take me home. I'll go myself. I'm not sick. I ain't sick. I'll go myself, I tell you.
All she does is ask him how old he is and look at him. Who wants to play George Washington anyhow?
On the east by the state of Georgia, on the south by Florida and the Gulf of Mexico.
Yes?
I'm Benny, David's brother.
Take up your compositions, children. Benny, why didn't David come to school?
He's very sick.
Oh. Did you have a doctor?
Not yet. My mother says you can die 10 times before the dispensary doctor comes.
Hmm. Well, Benny, you tell David to get well quickly. Tell him we won't put the play on until he comes back. Only David Radinsky will play George Washington.
How is he, doctor?
Sit down, Mrs. Radinsky.
Doctor, tell us. Is it so bad?
Well, his fever isn't anything to be alarmed at. His pulse is rather fast, but it isn't his physical condition.
No. Something else, doctor?
No, I can't make it out.
It is my fault. He works too hard. He reads too many books.
Mama, books don't hurt nobody. Did he say something, Doctor?
Well, that's what I can't make out. When I was ready to go, he caught my sleeve and said, Doctor, did you ever tell a lie?
Here's some water, David.
Thanks, Jaime. I'm glad you came to see me.
Oh, it was nothing. What's that?
A letter from Miss Ralston. You give it to her, Jaime.
Sure. Dear teacher Miss Ralston, I can't be George Washington anymore because I have lied to you. I must not tell you about what because you would blame somebody who didn't do wrong. Your friend, David Wojcinski.
You take it to her, Jaime.
All right. David, what's the lie? All right, you don't have to say nothing. But, David, teacher gave me something to read to you.
I don't want to hear it.
It ain't about George Washington.
No?
Honest.
All right, Jaime. You can read it if you want to.
A song of David. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard. Even Aaron's beard that cometh down upon the collar of his garments, like the dew of Hermon that cometh down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forever.
Jaime, teacher sent you the wrong thing to read.
Don't cry, David. I didn't say nothing.
She sent you the wrong thing. She should have sent you the Ten Commandments. She should have sent you, thou shalt not bear false witness. You know what that means, Jaime? It means you mustn't tell a lie. It means a liar can't play George Washington. It means a liar can't be a good American.
Mama, the teacher, Miss Ralston, she came to our house.
Benny, David is sleeping. Do you want to wake him up?
He won't wake up.
I hope I'm not disturbing you, Mrs. Wodinski.
Oh, you are an angel, Miss Ralston. I'm sorry, the house, it is upset. Oh. Such company should not sit in the kitchen.
We got a parlor, but David's sleeping there.
That's enough, Benny. You go mind the store and tell Papa to come here.
All right, Mama.
Mrs. Wodinski, is David any better?
No. He turns his face to the wall and he cries. Such a big boy should not be crying all the time.
He sent me a very strange note, Mrs. Wodinski, and he returned his part for the play. I hardly know what to say.
You came. What is more to say? You like my boy teacher, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, yes, I see it. The first time in your class, David come home. Mama, he said to me, that is what he said. Mama, teacher talks with her eyes.
Mrs. Wodinski, how can we help him?
God will show us.
If only you knew what was wrong.
You are here now. Maybe God sent you to us. I will see if David is up. Maybe he will talk to you.
Well, teacher...
He won't talk to me, Mr. Wodinski. He says a liar mustn't talk.
Teacher, he's an innocent soul. There is no spot on my David.
Maybe I am to blame. What did I do? All I wanted was strength from God to earn a living, to have my children go to school, to be educated Americans.
Try not to worry. This will pass, whatever it is.
Oh, no, teacher, this will not pass. Body sickness passes, but soul sickness does not pass. Look, teacher, these books. This is what my David reads. On his vacations, he goes to the library. All day, he sits on the fire escape, and he reads. At night, we put out the light, and he binds matches to read by. Hundreds of blank matches we find, but we say nothing. We want he should be educated. How can a man be a good Jew and a good American and not have learning?
My husband is upset. You will excuse him, teacher.
Suddenly, there was nothing more important in the whole world than to mend the sickness that was in David Radinsky's soul. The tenement where he lived was dingy and airless, but there was a cleanliness of soul in that house, a cleanliness that shone like Mrs. Radinsky's kitchen. And then, perhaps Mrs. Radinsky was right, and God did help, for almost accidentally, he showed us the terrible enormity of David Radinsky's lie.
Teacher, you will not give David the bed mark for this?
Oh, no, Mr. Radinsky. He's my best pupil. He's done splendidly for an immigrant boy of 12.
Yes, teacher. No, teacher. He is really 14, but his father made him out younger on purpose.
What did you say?
His father made him out younger on purpose.
Why did you do that, Mr. Radinsky?
After 14 years, a boy can take out working papers. No, you told me.
Yes, but why did you... I don't understand.
Teacher, in America, the state is a good father and a good policeman.
But, Mr. Radinsky, why did you do it?
Maybe times will be bad. David will have to work. No. If I fail in business, David will not have to work. The policeman will keep me from robbing my David of an education.
Go on.
On the certificate I put down, he's 2 years younger. So he will stay in school longer, even if I fail.
Then David isn't 12.
I just told you he's 14.
Mr. Radinsky, don't you see? That's it. Don't you see?
Please, did you see what?
But it's so clear.
Clear, teacher?
His note. Listen. I can't be George Washington anymore because I have lied to you. I must not tell you about what, because you would blame somebody who didn't do wrong.
You mean, teacher, it is not David? Is that it?
I asked him his age. He said 12. That's his lie.
No.
That's why he's sick.
May God forgive me. The lie belongs to me.
Yes.
I have done this to him.
Try to be calm.
But, teacher, I... God in heaven, teacher, I didn't want to do wrong. All I wanted was to tie my hands, to tie my own hands, so I couldn't pull my David down with me, so he would stay longer in school.
I'm glad I know you, Mr. Radinsky.
We are the liars, teacher. David is no liar. He would have told, but it says, honor thy father and thy mother. And how could a little boy say his father is a liar?
How will he ever respect How will he ever respect
He doesn't blame you, Mr. Radinsky. He only blames himself. And he wouldn't tell me because he respects you so much.
Teacher, you really think so?
Yes, I do. And if you don't mind, I want to see David now. I closed the kitchen door and I stood over David's bed. Two fearful eyes burned at me through the dusk of the room, and the lamplight made a halo of his hair. And from the next flat, a plaintive voice sang sweetly in words I didn't understand. But the song was as healing as silence.
What are you bringing me, teacher?
Cool hands for your head, David, and words to tell you that I know what your lie is.
Then my father... I didn't want him to.
He's worthy of you, David. And you are worthy of him.
But George Washington didn't tell a lie. I said I was 12. It was a lie.
Still, David, you will put on the uniform, and we will give you a powdered wig for your head and a sword for your side, and you will play George Washington.
And I will say the words, teacher.
Yes, David. Say them now.
Oh, yes, teacher, yes. Everyone shall sit in safety under his vine and fig tree, and there shall be none to make him afraid. May the fathers of all mercy scatter light and not darkness in our paths.
Yes, David. He said that to the Newport congregation, for the Jewish soldiers dead in the American Revolution.
Oh, teacher, it's true. Land where my fathers died.
Come, my indoor and rest, my Lord, all my.
Copies of the script you have just heard, as well as the talk which follows immediately, may be obtained without cost by writing to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we present Dr. Louis I. Newman, Rabbi of the Temple Rodef Shalom, New York. Rabbi Newman.
When President Truman, in his first address to his country, quoted from the book of 1 Kings, "Give thy servant therefore an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this thy great people?" He was following an honored tradition in American life. From the earliest beginnings of our nation, our leaders have drawn upon the Bible for nourishment, the Holy Scriptures, which are inspired because they are inspiring. This concordance between Hebraism and Americanism is an established and recognized element in our national culture. The influence of the so-called Old Testament upon the Puritan fathers of America is too well known to need emphasis here. It is not known, however, that the Bible was a liberating, not a repressive, factor throughout the centuries. While John Cotton, compiling Moses' Judicials in 1636, utilized biblical texts to shackle free thought and belief, Roger Williams, his illustrious adversary, turned to the Bible for reinforcement of his liberal ideas and institutions. In his treatment of the Pequot Indians, he advocated a humane solution, since, he said, the Most High delights in mercy. In championing the principles of liberation in England, he speaks of himself as sounding a blast on his despised ram's horn. And in his Portsmouth Code of 1647, he paraphrases the prophet Micah, saying with reference to the laws, "Otherwise than thus what is herein forbidden, all men may walk as their consciences persuade them, every one in the name of his God." The revolt against Sir Edmund Andros in 1639 was fortified with biblical quotations, sanctioning a protest against tyrannical power. During the Revolution, preachers and laymen alike drew abundantly upon citations from the Bible, notably the magnificent warning of the prophet Samuel against submission to a despoiling king. Abraham Lincoln again and again adorned his utterances with biblical references, one of which dealing with David's pardon of his enemies, the Emancipator President applied to the rebellious South after its defeat. Woodrow Wilson, speaking of the Bible and progress, declared America was born to exemplify that devotion to the elements of righteousness which are derived from the revelations of Holy Scriptures. And Franklin Delano Roosevelt of blessed memory reminded the world at a time when the dignity of man was being defiled that Genesis speaks of God as creating man in his own image. May the world, dawning amid the ruins, hold fast to the Bible of Israel and make it the chief cornerstone for the edifice of peace and brotherhood.
Thank you, Rabbi Newman. Today's script was adapted for radio by Morton Wishengrad from Mary Anton's short story, The Lie, which first appeared in the Atlantic Monthly. The music was written by Henry Brandt and conducted by Milton Katims. Cantor David Putterman of the Park Avenue Synagogue, New York, was the soloist. Charlotte Holland appeared as the teacher, and Michael Artist was featured as David. The entire production was under the direction of Ira Avery. This program is a public service of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations, and presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. If you would like a free copy of today's script, write to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.